Podcast listeners, when last we spoke to Dale Stevens, it was almost 5 years ago. He was in the audience of our show at the Marines Memorial Theater, just in the audience. But you've also been in the audience of several of our shows, including the taping of the DVD of The Complete History of America, Bridge. Did I get that right?
That's correct. I was 12 at the time, and I think wearing an orange shirt on the right-hand side of the stage.
All right, everybody freeze frame and look for...
When you walk back carrying the scroll, you can see the back of my head.
Nice. But now... Lo, these many years later, you're a published author and the founder of a movement. Is that right?
That is correct. It's called uncollege.org.
Well, all right. Well, for this podcast, I hope you will tell me about your movements.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 303, The Uncollege Movement. It's September, and the kids are back in school. Well, most of the kids are back in school, but there's a small but growing segment of kids who aren't back in school, and an old but still young RSC fan has written not just a book about it, but the book about it. Dale Stevens is the founder of the Uncollege Movement and also the author of Hacking Your Education. And last summer, in the noisy bar of the Arts Theater, after a performance of our sports show, Dale explained to me his own background and how it led him to the notion of Uncollege and the writing of his book.
I left school when I was 12 and skipped middle school and high school entirely. And what I do now...
Yes, you're one of those homeschool freaks, in air quotes. But...
Absolutely.
But I remember you talking about when you came to see the Bible show.
Yeah, and we actually brought a group of us unschoolers who were studying the Bible as literature to see your show.
Yes. And is homeschooling always been called unschooling, or is that a term you've given it?
So unschooling and homeschooling are different. Homeschoolers would consider unschoolers homeschoolers. Unschoolers wouldn't consider themselves homeschoolers. It's a bit like Christians and Mormons, for example.
Okay.
Unschooling is a self-directed form of homeschooling. So unschooling is not dictated by parents. You don't follow a standard curriculum. Unschoolers choose their own paths. The students choose what to study, set their own courses, so on and so forth. And it was a decision that I made to leave school, not something that my parents passed down onto me.
And when did you leave school? Say that again.
When I was 12 in sixth grade.
12. But your parents were cool with this.
My mom was a public school teacher at the time, and my dad an engineer, both products of the system. They weren't exactly cool with it, but they wanted to see me happy, and they saw that I was miserable in school.
Okay.
And they couldn't live with themselves if I was miserable every
day.
Well,
at 12, everybody's miserable in school at 12. You know, how was your miserableness different, or how were you able to articulate?
I think my parents saw that the worst case scenario was that I would go back to school. School wasn't going anywhere.
Right? Yeah, right.
What's the worst that could possibly happen? I take a year off,
right,
and I fall behind and, like, don't graduate from MIT when I'm 14? Oh, my God.
Yeah. So did you end up going back to school?
I never ended up going back to school. I did go to college for 7 months because my parents had gone, my peers were going, and that's what society expects you to do.
Right.
What I didn't realize was that it was hypocritical to justify my decision to leave school when I was 12 by saying, oh, well, Sarah was unschooled and she got into Harvard, so it must be okay.
Right.
Seems really stupid now.
Which part seems stupid?
Justifying my decision to leave school.
Yes.
By acknowledging that I can still get into university.
Right. But getting into university is not the reason you leave school.
Right.
It's for a completely different other reason.
Right. And what I've come to discovering now that is that unschooling is a lifelong commitment. It's not something that you do when you're 12 until you're 18 and then go to college or get a job. It's a lifelong commitment to forging your own path, to defining your own values, to painting your own shade of gray.
So isn't it a way of legitimizing the old expression, well, I graduated from the University of Life. You know, isn't kind of that?
Sure, if you want to. Though unschooling is in no way formalized. There are no degrees, there are no accreditations.
Right.
People gain legitimacy by working on real-world projects and proving themselves through portfolios.
Right.
So you can say, look, I built this thing. I built an application that has 10,000 downloads on the App Store, instead of, I have a degree from Caltech.
Well, and a lot of people, I mean, a college, you know, I've heard the expression that there is no substitute for a college education. And I buy that in the sense that, yes, a college education education is the equal of a college education. But it's not the only way one can learn.
Absolutely. Learning does not just happen inside schools and inside desks. And in fact, I would argue that the majority of learning that goes on in college is not academic.
It's social.
It's social. People are 18.
Yeah.
They're coming of age. They're learning how to party and how to drink and how to have sex. I recall distinctly about a week before I left college, I sat down in the cafeteria and people were asking me legitimate questions about why I was leaving school and what I was going to do and like how are you going to support yourself. And this one guy was like, well, aren't you going to miss the beer and the girls?
Yeah.
And I thought about it and was like, no. Well, like, A, I prefer guys and champagne and there's more of that in San Francisco than in Arkansas. But B, you can get drunk and have sex in the real world too, right?
Well,
activities that are limited to college.
Yeah, but this I was going to say, if you're not going to college, aren't you missing out on a lot of partying and drinking and having sex?
I do way more of that now than I ever did in college. The college that I was at in Arkansas was actually in a dry county. Here in London, I can actually buy alcohol.
But wait a second. You were in a college in a dry county in Arkansas?
Yes.
That's not... You can't compare all colleges to that. Why? You know? If that was your comparison, I don't think you gave college a fair try.
I've sounded like your dad. I've spent time on a lot of other college campuses, too.
And you're from the Bay Area, so we have Berkeley, Stanford, a lot of good colleges.
The way this whole thing started was that I met a bunch of other unschoolers who'd also skipped school and done amazing things before they went to college. One in particular that started this whole movement was called Rebecca, and she was unschooled. She like represented the U.S. at the Model UN. She'd lived in Kenya for a year when she was 16, done all these awesome things, and went to Dartmouth and thought, oh, Dartmouth is an Ivy League school. It's going to be awesome.
Right.
And found the same infatuation with grades, the same students who were there who didn't want to be there,
right,
or were forced to be there by their parents, and the exact same frustration that I did at Hendrix in this small private school that she founded at an Ivy League school.
Right. Is unschooling a way to give legitimacy to dropouts? Is it synonymous with dropping out of school? Are dropouts different?
I think it's a nice way to phrase dropping out, right?
Okay.
It's
an alternative.
Yes. It's a framework. It's a vocabulary. It's a syntax. You know, I personally thrive by calling myself a dropout. It's become part of my personal brand.
Right, owning it. Yes.
I mean, you know,
your personal brand. You said. All right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Like, I am known as a dropout. I really wanted to fail my courses in college, and my parents made me file a withdrawal paper, so I have W's on my transcripts instead of F's.
Okay.
I really wanted F's, but they were like, I mean, in case you ever apply to a normal job someday, maybe you shouldn't have to explain it in quite as much depth.
There's having it your way and proving a point, and then just screwing yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And not having sex with yourself.
Right.
Yourself. Yeah.
One of the things that I hadn't quite learned when I was 18.
Okay.
Now, or 19.
All right. So are you the founder of this unschooled movement?
I'm the founder of UnCollege, and we've been going for about...
UnCollege, excuse me, yes.
So yeah, unschooling is the term that refers to primary education.
Okay.
And UnCollege is what I started about a year and a half ago now. And we've got about 10,000 followers online. My first book's coming out from Penguin in March. It's called Hacking Your Education. You should pick up a copy when it comes out.
And the book is all about?
The book is about how to educate yourself outside of a traditional learning system.
Okay.
It uses my story as a narrative,
uh-huh,
and as a starting point, and includes interviews with about 50 people who've done interesting things with their lives without relying on formal education. Everyone from world-famous DJs to people who got medical degrees to vice presidents of Visa.
Well, and I mean, you hear all the time about, I don't know, Einstein failed calculus or Bill Gates dropped out of wherever he dropped out of. You know, there are plenty of success stories of people who never went to college.
Though in some ways, I think those success stories are a little bit dangerous because you make those people sound unique. You make them sound special. You say, oh, you know, Mark Zuckerberg dropped out of college.
Yeah, right.
But you aren't going to start the next Facebook, right?
Right.
So what I'm trying to do with the book is tell stories of people who live happy, productive lives, who contribute to society, but don't necessarily have $1 billion or own the world.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. In that respect, it's like people in the theater, people in show business. You know, I know so many people who make their livings in show business. Only a fraction of them are famous.
Right.
Only a fraction of them has anybody ever heard of.
Right.
Hey, listen, this here's Gerald Tibbins. You know what you're doing? Listening to a podcast of Who, What's That, Reduced Shakespeare Company. Do you get it? Boop.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week we begin our fall of 2012 tour, taking the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged to Valhalla, Hamilton, and Ithaca, New York, Cranston, Rhode Island, Morristown, New Jersey, Chico and Saratoga, California, and Hilton Head, South Carolina. And then we take the ultimate Christmas show abridged to Reston, Virginia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Fort Worth, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Anchorage, Alaska, and for 3 weeks at San Diego Rep in San Diego, California. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
So how formal is the on-college movement, and is there a danger of it getting too formalized? Is that, would that be antithetical to the whole not idea of it?
It's not formal at all right now. We're only, for the last year and a half, we've basically existed as an advocacy organization. And we're now only starting to make things formalized. We're starting hackademic camps to catalyze community around people who are not going to college, who are academics. We're starting an on-college gap year program next year to provide a concrete alternative to not going to college. Given it's only called a gap year so the parents will pay for it,
right.
We have no intention of the kids ever going to college.
Right.
But if you sign your kid up for an on-college gap year program, you better know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
There's certainly a danger in it in becoming too formalized, right?
Right.
But I think that the difference is, are you telling people what to do, or are you providing people inspiration for what they could do?
Yes.
And I want to do the latter, not the former.
I mean, in a lot of ways, what I love about this entire idea is that it both makes a lot of sense and seems eminently spoof-worthy. I mean, it just sounds fun. It's just a fun thing to make fun of, but it makes some sense.
Right.
And so it's both. It's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. It's chocolate and peanut butter together.
And what it seems like from the people that I've talked to over the course of the last year and a half is that the people who found success in their lives have all done this, right? They've made their own choices.
Right.
And that's, at the root of it, that's what it's about. It's not a rejection of school. It's an embrasure of personal freedom. And the idea that everyone should be entitled to make their own choices without society or their parents or their teachers dictating what you should do.
Well, and it's also, it seems to me it would be very useful for people who've gone to college.
Absolutely.
Because you go to college and then you get out of it and you go, well, Jesus, now what do I do?
Yeah, and 22% of those under 25 are unemployed and the other 22% are working in jobs that don't require their degree.
So
you didn't go to Yale to work at Starbucks.
Yeah, so it's really a way of thinking about yourself and what you do apart from college, whether you go to college or whether you don't go to college.
And it's about thinking about what makes you happy, what defines success, because you're realizing that,
that
defining yourself as an academic by the grades that you get, by your major, is not what holds up in life, and that you have to figure out what you value for yourself, what you want to do. And if you want to measure your success in life by how much money you make, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But be sure that you wrote the list, right?
Yeah. Well, it's true. You know, we're talking about this too, because my son is in high school now, and he will be going on to college, I think.
How old is he?
I hope he's 16.
Okay.
You know, but he'll be going on the more traditional path, I suspect, but who knows? But we're talking about, college. There's so many good schools across the country. You don't have to go to the top one. You don't have to go to one that everybody's heard of, as you're proving. You don't have to go to one at all. But but at the same time, after your first couple of jobs, after you're out of school for a long, nobody really cares where you went to school. You know where they do care is if you are a working mother who's taken time off to have children. Suddenly you get back into the workforce and people want to know where you went to school. And then they forgive you.
Or if you want to get a visa in a different country.
Mm.
That's the only reason I've ever considered maybe getting a college degree if I want to get a visa and live somewhere else.
Because it's
education and they give you more points.
Right. It's a way of measuring your whatever.
Competence.
Your competence, your viability, your validity.
How much value you will contribute to society based on how much time you've spent in school.
So you're an author, you're the head, let's just call you the head of this movement, the on-college movement, and what's next? You're an entrepreneur of yourself, but this idea, what's next?
I don't know, we'll see. I mean, the next year of my life is more or less committed to promoting this book. It comes out in March, there'll be at least 6 months of that. We're just starting to get off the ground with UnCollege and these academic camps and the gap year programs, and it looks like that's only expanding, so there's a long road to pursue there. At some point, I'm sure I'll get bored and want to do something else. But for now, I feel like I'm adding value to the world and having a lot of fun doing it.
So with all this, are you making a living?
Yes.
You are? From the book advance?
From the book advance, from speaking fees, from consulting engagements.
Cool. All of which you've developed yourself. That's really awesome. Now, I guess my only fear is...
No. I'm lying. I still live at home in my parents' basement and smoke pot and do Jello shots.
Really?
No.
Damn! That would have been good, too. You know, save your money.
My parents don't live close enough to the airport for that.
Yeah. But I guess the danger now is, what if... So in college is a way of dropping out of the traditional collegiate. What happens if people want to drop out of UnCollege? Then what? This thing could spiral out of control, Dale. Have you planned for this? What's going to happen then?
I think if not...
Yeah, you don't have any answers for that, do you, smart guy?
It's not about dropping out of anything. It's about deciding to make your own choices. And you have a choice whether you want to identify as an uncollegian or not.
And if they reject UnCollege, then you have done your job.
Yeah, they can be an un-uncollege.
You got it going both ways.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Be sure to look for Hacking Your Education by Dale Stevens at your school library and check out his website, uncollege.org. Send us your movements via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of the podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Professor Emeritus Matthew Croak, PhD, LLP, BFD, and LMFAO. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Juliana Falzone. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Mr. Gerald T-Bone Tibbins and to everyone at David Koechner for making his appearance possible. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 303 909th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
That's the next step, UnCollege.
Awesome. The UnCollege.
Yes.
I like it.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.